We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
If you're a guest, you should know today will be very different from start to finish. Normally, when I preach, I'll have you turn to a text, and I'll tell you right where we're going to be. Typically, they would call that in homiletics, they would call that expository preaching. But today I'm not going to do that. Don't freak out. The pastor's not going liberal, okay? But we are going to be looking in God's Word. Everyone say amen, all right? So on the back of your handout today, some of you notice lots of lines and you don't know what to do because there's no blanks there. And it says various texts, and some of you are breaking out into hives right now, all right? I promise you it'll be okay. I'm going to be reading from various texts this morning. In fact, almost all of the passages, I think all of them actually will be on the screen. So if you don't have a Bible this morning, you'll be able to look on the screen. If you do have a Bible, you'll be able to maybe be really quick off the mark and get to the text this morning. Well, it is Mother's Day, and we are grateful for our moms. We're thankful for them. I texted my mom this morning. She's out of town. She's visiting her mom, who's 83 years old. It's the first time she's been with her for 30 years. And so they're getting to spend some time together. She's going to surprise her and be with her today. And I was thinking about moms for the last several weeks, and there is a few days on the calendar that every pastor sort of approaches with fear and intrepidation. And today's one of those days. You should know that. And I was thinking about the little boy who was making a picture, and he was sitting in class diligently drawing, just totally engrossed in what he was doing. And the teacher came up to him and said to him, hey, what are you drawing? And the little boy looked up and he said, I'm making a picture of God. And the teacher said, son, don't you understand that nobody knows what God looks like? And the little boy looked back up at her and he said, well, they will when I get done. Isn't that just like a little kid to do something like that? Of course, we know that no one has ever really seen God. In fact, God told Moses, when Moses said, Lord, let me see you, Moses was begging God, God, I just want to see you. And God said this to Moses, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, Moses, I can't see you. You can't see me, because if you see me, does anybody know what will happen? You'll die. And so God says, I'll show you a glimpse of me. I'll show you some of my glory. I'll pass by you. We know that the Bible talks about seeing God in many things. We see God in creation. Amen. Everywhere you look, the creation is screaming, there's a God, there's a God, there's a God, there's order, there's a sense of just incredible majesty and craftsmanship. As you look out in the world, you can not only see Him in the splendor and creation of majesty to know that there's a God, there is a creator, there is a sustainer, but you can also, as you study the pages of Scripture, you can see Him in the life of Jesus. Can you not, church? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. The Father. And what Christ was saying in essence is how I act and treat people is a picture of God. The Bible will often use things, and as you study the Word of God, I'm going to give you a big word today, not to try and impress you, but the Bible uses what they call anthropomorphic language. What that means, some of you are like, what? Yeah, it's called anthropomorphic language. What that means is when you read the Word of God and you come across a word, one of my favorite examples of this, it says that when the throne of God is the heavens and the earth is His footstool. It gives you a human picture to try and get you to think how big God is. And of course, we know God doesn't have any feet. He doesn't have any hands because He is a what? A spirit. And so, and when the Bible talks about trying to know God and picture Him, it uses these anthropomorphic pictures to try and get us to understand what He looks like. And God has gone to great lengths to not only share His love for us, but to show us what He looks like. Not in a physical sense. Even the writers struggled with this. That's why they said, you know, the earth is His footstool. Think about that. Not just a physical sense, but in a relational sense, in a spiritual sense. To know His attributes and to know His character. We see Him, of course, in creation. We know that. The Bible is clear. People understand this. We see Him in Christ. But something very special today. We see Him also in mothers. Do you believe that? We see God in mothers. Mothers show us a portrait of God. We catch a glimpse of what the Father is like by looking at moms and looking at motherhoods. Now, they tell you to never isolate your audience. So please listen. While much of this message will be about moms, ultimately the message is about God. And all of us need to learn more about God. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. By the way, all of us have a mom. Amen. And so you say, well, I don't know if the message is for me. I'm not a mother. Do you have a mother? Can you spell mother? Do you know a mother? Then say, turn to your neighbor and say, the message is for me. Turn to your other neighbor, and it's for me, okay? It's for me. Now, let me just debug a few things really quickly, all right? We are not going to Proverbs 31, and all of the ladies said, all right, praise God, okay? Because you know, all the guys are looking for a Proverbs 31 woman, but all the ladies are looking for a Proverbs 32 man, and we know there is no Proverbs 32, so you're out of luck, all right? We also know that no one in here had the perfect mother. I don't want to offend anybody or make anybody mad. I don't want to upset you, but the reality is your mama is a sinner. Amen? Ladies, would you say amen to that? Moms make mistakes. Moms mess up. And moms will quietly struggle and wrestle with lots of questions. Questions like, am I doing it right? Will my children turn out okay? Do other moms feel the same way that I do about the struggles that I have? Moms wonder, will I ever get a day off? I was looking this week and doing some reading. I shared this with you before. It's just so humorous to me about the little boy who was staring at the wedding picture of his mom and dad. And he looked at his dad and he saw his mom all beautifully dressed and the dad there. And he said to his dad, he said, Daddy, is that the day that you got mommy to come work for us? And so... Yikes. Yikes. I read this week the true story about a four-year-old and a six-year-old that came to their mother and they bought her a plant for Mother's Day and they were so excited because they had used their own money and she was so thrilled. And the little boy, the six-year-old, came up to his mom after he had given her the plant and said, Mommy, there was something else I really wanted to get you. And she said, what was that, honey? He said, well, there was this beautiful bouquet that we wanted to get you at the flower shop. It was so pretty, but it was just too expensive and we didn't have the money. Mommy, it had a ribbon on it, and on the ribbon it said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be perfect since you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Mercy. Now, some of you have had wonderful mothers. Pastor Mike and I were praying today, and Pastor Chad was too. Just, you know, knowing that our moms were saved and they didn't always get it right, but we're thankful for their influence. And some of you have not had the greatest examples of motherhood in your life. You've had poor examples when it comes to motherhood. Some of you today, I am keenly aware of this, you will struggle with the whole idea of trying to honor your mother. I was reading about a young lady and she said, I'm glad my mother has passed away now because it's one less set of eyes to judge me. Some of you have grown up under the scrutiny of your mother, under the constant criticism and barrage of relentless attacks. Some of you feel you haven't measured up. Some of you look at other mothers and feel, I'm not as good as her, or she's a much better mom than I am. And, you know, ladies, you're out to lunch and your kids are misbehaving, and in walks Mother of the Year with all of the little Tupperware containers and everything out on the table and all of the snacks, and you're just like, good for you, right? Can I get a witness, moms? Don't think I haven't seen that go on, all right? Some of you are here this morning, and quite frankly, you don't want to honor your mom. You don't want to say that because you're in church, but I want to tell you a little secret. God knows you feel that way, okay? Can I just tell you that honoring, somebody said this, that honoring, to honor someone, is going one step past right. To do one more thing above that which is right. To honor someone. To go the extra mile. God says, honor your father and mother. And he is not saying, pretend that you had a perfect life or put on a happy face or fake it. Okay? He's not saying that. Honoring our mother, despite who she is or was, is a command that we're to obey. And when we do this, we are pleasing God and our life becomes blessed. And what God is saying is, I want to bless your life this morning. I want to bless your life today. I want you to indeed live a blessed life, because if you honor your father and your mother by doing that, you in turn get the blessing from me. I'll just say this kindly. Your relationship with your mother does not have to be wonderful to be meaningful. It doesn't have to be wonderful. You don't have to have this wonderful, magnanimous relationship and you and your mom are super tight. That's just not the story of everybody in here. I understand that. Honoring for some of you may mean that you extend a little more forgiveness and grace in your life. For others, it may be that you need to stop dwelling on the past or harboring on bitterness. Honoring can mean doing an act of kindness or reaching out to them, letting them know that they are loved and thought of. And you say, I don't feel like it. That's just when you need to do it. That's just when you need to do it. To be sure, there are many ways that you can honor your mother. Maybe you're a teenager in here this morning or a young person. Maybe what you ought to do this week is go up to your mom when she's washing the dishes and say, listen, I'm going to finish up here, okay? After she picks herself up off the floor, then you can, you know, help her sit down and maybe load the dishwasher. Maybe say, Mom, show me how to do the laundry. I'll do a load of laundry this week. Ladies, I'm not getting any amens right now. I'm going to stop helping you in a minute, all right? There's a lot of things that you could do, simple little acts of kindness that will go one step past right, that for you will say, you know what, I'm going to make the first move. I'm going to honor my mom, despite how I may feel. You see, God knows the wounds that are there for some of you, but He also knows the healing power that comes when we do that which is right. So no matter what kind of mother you had, or despite how you may feel today as a mom, I want us to shift the focus today, and I want us to be reminded that there is something special and precious about motherhood, for in mothers we see portraits of God. There are some things that moms display and reflect and demonstrate that we will be able to see today, and I don't have time to go into all of them. There are so many. In fact, I had 12 attributes written on my legal pad in my desk. When this morning when I came back into my office, I looked at those and I thought, man, my church will be glad today that I didn't do all 12 of these this morning. And so I really kind of narrowed it down. I even condensed one of them because I want us to stay focused on what I feel are the chief attributes. And that God does nothing by accident. Say amen to that. Amen. But it's by design. And so, if you want to take a few brief notes this morning, you may. Here's the first picture that we see, the first portrait, if you will, and that is a picture of compassion. A picture of compassion. Moms are compassionate for the most part. Now, some mothers just don't have the gift of compassion. How many of you know what I mean by that? Your little Johnny's running, falls down, skins his knee, and the mom will go, get up. Don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about, right? I understand that, okay? But in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, the Bible says this, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have, what, say it, compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Now, we know the context is God speaking about Israel and doing a comparison here. But there's a play on words here in the Hebrew text and in the language. And the passage is basically saying, like if that ever would really happen, as if a mother could forget her little suckling child, one who is a nursing mother. How could a mother ever do that? But the reality is she wouldn't. Now you may quickly say, well, what about mothers who abandon their children and all of this? Well, we would look at that, and society even looks at that and says there's something wrong with that. There's something not right. You want to infuriate a society. Why does it make headline news when a mother does something like that? Because we realize that's not right. And in interviewing mothers who have actually done that, and we don't know their circumstances, by the way, church, and so we ought not to judge a mother who does something like that. And when they do interview moms who have done that, do you know what those mothers will say? I lived with the guilt and the grief and the shame of that my entire life. I never got over that. So the writer is true. She can't forget. She would never forget. How could a mother forget? And in the text, the word compassion here in the Hebrew means to love deeply, to have mercy, to have what we might call today tender affection. And in describing His compassion for His people, God uses the example of a mother and a child, an infant child. You see, an infant is helpless and totally dependent on mom for nourishment and life. The bond between a baby and a mother is perhaps the strongest on earth. A mother knows the needs of a child way better than the dad does. Would you say amen to that? Way better. Every time my kids ever got sick, they weren't like, get dad. They were like, get mom. Get mom. When a baby is hungry, they know. When a baby is sick, I can remember looking at our boys one time, and I said, "What in the world's wrong with you?" And my wife said, "They're sick." I said, "No, they're not." We took their temperature and had a fever, and she just gave me that look. Sometimes I would say, "What's wrong with them?" And she says, "They need some of you right now." How many of you know moms know what their children need? They know sometimes when a child needs counsel, correction, compassion, a listening ear. It's interesting to me, society is trying to break down this whole idea of the bond of mother and child, but if you'll do some research, as I did this week, I found an interesting article that I'll share with you. It says, "For an infant, a mother's touch provides a feeling of security, comfort, and love, but research at UCI Irving is showing that it does so much more. Neurologist and neuroscientist Dr. Tali Z. Baram has found that caressing and other sensory input triggers activity in a baby's developing brain that improves cognitive function and builds resilience to stress. The finding contributes to growing knowledge about epigenetics, the study of how environmental factors can reprogram the expression of genes. What's noteworthy about this study is that it reveals that the brain structure is influenced by the environment early in life and especially by maternal care." Dr. Byram goes on to write, "whose research on earthly life factors and neurodevelopment has fundamentally altered the understanding of disorders such as epilepsy," goes on to say these words, "there has been a belief that the brain is hardwired, that once it's established, it's that way for life. But we're seeing that the brain is actually softwired, that changes in stimuli alter the wiring, and that it's not predestined to be a certain way forever." I find this fascinating. It's interesting to me that when you look at a mother's touch and a compassionate touch at that, that compassionate touch is what changes people. And it is the same compassionate touch that God has had on the lives of so many people here this morning. How many of you could just say a loud amen to the fact that God has compassionately touched your life? Amen? There's been a compassionate touch of God on your life. If you look back over the landscape of your life, you will see that there have been moments and times where God's compassionate touch was there. And that compassionate touch is still changing millions of lives today. We have a compassionate God, one who knows our needs, one who cares about us, one who loves us. And this is why God sent His Son, because we, like that infant little child, we were totally and utterly helpless. Listen to Romans chapter 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Would you please read this last section with me? It's on the screen. Ready? "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Christ died for the ungodly. I want to give you this thought. I wrote this down early this morning. I had Pastor Micah slip it in the notes so that you might be able to get it. That God touched His Son with tremendous wrath so that He might touch our life with tender compassion. Think about that. God touched His own Son with a tremendous amount of wrath so that in turn He might touch our life with tender compassion. You know what fascinates me is that when a mother holds her baby, she has no idea how that child will turn out. She doesn't really know. She prays, she hopes, she dreams, she works hard, and so she does something. She loves that child. She pours compassion on that child. And she hopes and prays that that child will turn out right. I read this week a noted Christian woman's author, and she said this, "Before becoming a mother, I had 100 theories on how to bring up children." She said, "I now have 7 children, and I have only one theory. Love them, especially when they least deserve it." Can I get an amen? Love them, especially when they least deserve it. You know what's so astounding to me, friends, is that when you think about God, He knew exactly the kind of person we would be, and yet He loved us anyway. Amen? He took compassion on us, and He lavished His grace on us. When we were, as the text says, when we were ungodly, no mother ever picks up her little baby and looks down and says, "You ungodly little thing." That thought does not enter the mom's mind. But God looked at us, and when we were unsay it, godly. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are ungodly. Turn to him, tell him, say, you. Turn to the other neighbor, you too. When we were, say it, ungodly, he loved us. And God knew exactly who we would be and how we would turn out. And just like a mother, he took compassion on us. And some of you in here have frustrated the grace of God beyond measure, and aren't you glad for his compassionate touch? Amen? We see a portrait of compassion in a mama's touch. Secondly, we see, and I condensed these two this morning, we see a picture of comfort and care. We see a picture of comfort and care. The great prophet Isaiah, in communicating to the nation of Israel, said these words, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And describing how Paul had taught and led and cared for the churches, he uses the picture in just a moment of a nurse, a term that is associated and even used for a mother. It was a synonymous word. One who was caring for her children and comforting them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, here's what Paul said. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse, or we might say a mother, cherisheth her what? Her children. The point being made is obvious that children need cared for, and there was no one who does it better than mothers. They have a special way of comforting and caring for children. And Paul said, the only way I can describe for you how we treated you was just like how a mother would. Isaiah said, the best picture I can give you of comfort, the best thing I can think of is how a mother will come and soothe and comfort a child. Look in the text. He says, we were gentle among you. That word, the word gentle, that makes all the difference. Listen to the words of the great warrior David. Listen to what he says in speaking of God. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy what? Gentleness. Say it, even in the balcony, say it. Thy what? Gentleness hath made me great. When you think of David and all of his greatness, and the fact that he killed Goliath, the fact that he fell into sin and chose to turn from God, all of the conquerors, the tens of thousands that David has slain. This was a man's man. You did not want to mess with David. David said, there's one thing that made me great. There's one thing that made the distinction and the difference in my life. And that was the fact that God, you were gentle with me. You were gentle with me. Can you look back over your life, friends? Can you today look back over your life and can you remember a time when God should have wiped you off the face of the planet and yet he was gentle with you with grace? Oh, can I hear an amen? When you did something that you just couldn't even believe yourself and you went to God and you said, I can't believe I did that. God wasn't like, see, that's the last time I'm... No, he didn't do that. You know what he was? He was gentle with you. He was gentle with you. You might want to write this little thought down this morning. To be gentle is to be godly. To be gentle is to be godly. Now please know this, that being gentle takes a sacrifice. You know, it's easy to be rough and harsh and loud and forceful. How many of you know what I mean by that? Especially for men. It comes natural to us. We think if we can't get our point across, the answer is raise our voice. Get louder. That doesn't work. Here's the next tactic. Ready? Get violent. So we think volume and violence fixes the problem. I had a wonderful illustration of this several years ago when our neighbors had these huge dogs and they had an issue with one of their children and they had to go to the emergency room and they came over and they said, would you watch our dogs for us, please? They're on the back porch. They should be fine, but if you could, please just, you know, keep an eye on them. And so we said, sure. Well, I thought that was a fine idea. I'm going to be a good Christian neighbor, you know, and take care of these beasts. And I thought it was a great idea until about 1:30 in the morning. And I'm hearing, boo, boo, boo. I roll over and I said, Angela, are you asleep? What a dumb question. And I said, what are we going to do about those dogs? And she said, what do you mean, we? I said, I was a vet technician. I know how to handle this. I'll be right back. Out of bed I go, out the back door, over into the screen door. And I just start yelling, quiet, shh, get in your bed, ah, you know, quiet down, just, you know, shh. These dogs are looking at me. I go back into the house, get in bed. I look over and I said, took care of that. She says, I'll go. I said, no, no, no. Let me. Back over there. Shh, quiet. Yelling louder. Grab the one by the collar. You get in your bed. Get out of your bed. It's 2 a.m. I got to preach in the morning, dumb dog. Get back in bed. She says, please let me go. I said, fine. Good luck, you know. She's gone for like 20 minutes. I thought they ate her, you know. I was like, whatever. She comes back over. She gets in bed. Silence. I said, what did you do? Did you poison them? No, Todd, she says. I just sat with them. They're scared. They don't understand. And you going over there yelling isn't making it better. Fine. So I just turned over. I could have done that, right? That's the natural response. But you see, a mother has a touch. She's got this care and comfort that's built into her. And God, in his patience and in his kindness and in his tenderness with us, slow to anger. Amen? Slow to anger. Merciful, gentle, like a caring mother comforting her children. And you know, the sacrifices and suffering of a mom, they are very immense. A mom knows that there are many times when she would much rather choose to be forceful, but she knows it's better for me to be gentle. By the way, when mom ever is mad or violent, get out of the way. Amen. Aren't you glad that God isn't always wrathful? Say amen. But when he is, get out of the way, man. Okay? Mom understands this, and she gives up so much in raising her children. Ladies, I will just confess to you that myself and most men know very little about the struggles you deal with as a woman and a mother. I'm just going to be honest with you. We don't know about that very much. But I do know that there is one man who knows all about it, and his name is Jesus. And you say, well, how is that possible? Because in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Sin. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now you might be thinking, how in the world does Jesus have any idea what I'm dealing with? This verse reminds us that Christ experienced the same things that we face. He understands what we go through. Yesterday I was talking to Brother Brian. Brian was in a really bad car accident. He's got his foot in this metal contraption. He's going to be in a metal boot thing for like 8 weeks and then a cast for 8 weeks. And I was texting with him yesterday and I said, Brian, I know how you feel. I said, I remember when I tore my Achilles tendon and I went into a cast for 8 weeks and they took my foot and they pointed it in the prone position. I was like a ballerina. I had my foot like this for 8 weeks. I was like that. Then I was in a boot. I said, I know how you're feeling. And immediately he and I were be able to just right then we had something in common. Do you know something? Jesus knows what it feels like, ladies, to be hurt by your kids. He knows what it feels like to not be understood, to be misunderstood. Think about his kids. Think about the 12 guys that hung out with him. You know what I mean? He gets it. Jesus not only understands, but he knows and he feels it. He can sympathize with you. And because of all of that, you can cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. I read a little poem this week that I thought I would share with the ladies this morning. It says, nobody knows of the work it makes to keep the home together. Nobody knows of the steps it takes. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody listens to childish woes, which kisses only smother. Nobody's pained by the naughty blows. Nobody, only mother. Nobody knows of the sleepless care bestowed on baby brother. Nobody knows of the tender prayer. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody knows of the lessons taught of loving one another. Nobody knows of the patience sought. Nobody, just mother. Nobody knows of anxious fears, lest darlings may not weather the storms of life in after years. Nobody but mother. Nobody knows of the tears that start, the grief she'd gladly smother. Nobody knows of the breaking heart. Nobody, only mother. Nobody clings to the wayward child, though scorned by every other, leads it so gently from pathways wild. Nobody can but mother. Nobody knows of the hourly prayer for him, our erring brother. Pride of her heart, once so pure and fair. Nobody, only mother. And nobody kneels at the throne above to thank the Heavenly Father for the sweetest gift, a mother's love. Nobody can say it but mother. Amen. I'm so thankful for my mom and thankful for all of those who have taken the time to raise me and invest into me. And how many of you know that when you were growing up, there were moments in your life where you were a rascal? Amen. I know that feeling all too well, and thankful for my children. And today, as we continue to honor moms, I want to say this. I'm so glad that even when we were rascals and we were rotten, mother never gave up on us and God never gave up on us. Amen. And that's why I want to share with you this last thought, which is simply a picture of commitment. A picture of commitment. There's something unique that a mother displays and demonstrates when it comes to commitment. It's an amazing thing to watch how a mom will be fully committed to her child. How a mother will never give up when other people have wrote him or her off. How a mother will, as the poem says, quietly pray and pursue. No matter what obstacles they may face, no matter what hardships they may endure, no matter what disappointments they encounter, there's something about a mother where she is just totally and utterly committed to her child. We should be thankful today that God's commitment to us is not based on our commitment to him. And that, like a mother, God says, you can do it. Oh, you can't do it in your own strength, but you can do it in the strength of my son, Jesus Christ. You can make it. I sent him to the cross for you. I'm fully committed to you. And it ought to bring a joy to our hearts today to know that our God, as we were singing, is greater and stronger. And he loves us and he's committed to us just like a mother. Amen. That he stays patient despite our disabilities that we have been harnessed with because of sin. Despite the crippling effect that some of us have brought into our lives because of the poor choices that we have made. And our lives seem to be adversely affected. We seem like we can't get forward. We seem like we can't conquer that next thing. I want you to know you have a God in heaven who is committed to seeing you succeed for his glory. Amen? And that just like a mother, he's not going to give up on you. He's going to keep pushing you and pushing you. And that your sin does not define you, but his son, Jesus Christ, should. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23 says this, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope that it is of the Lord's mercies." Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, what? Say it with me. Fail not. They are new every morning. Let's say it. Ready? Great. All right, that was 25 of you. Let's try it again. Ready? Great is thy faithfulness. Compassion, comfort, care, commitment. These are just four of the traits, the pictures that we see of God in others.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.